You know, it's Palm Sunday, and I think we've all heard the story of how Jesus entered Jerusalem. We've heard it so many times over the years. And one of the challenges of preaching, when on the calendar there's just certain times of the year that, you know, you need to deal with a certain topic, Easter is one of those. There are a lot of things that can be said. There's a lot of things that went on, beginning with Palm Sunday, right on through Good Friday and into Resurrection Sunday and even into that evening. There's a whole lot to be preaching on. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk more about the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25, because I've become convinced it relates directly to what went on from Palm Sunday right on through to the Sunday evening after Jesus resurrected. We've been looking at the book of Jude this month. And Jude started out by reminding everyone that, you know, he really wanted to write to the church about the faith that we all share. But unfortunately, even in the first century, there were many people who were already wandering from the truth. So many were already listening to other ideas, developing other philosophies and theologies, changing the things that they had been taught by the apostles. And so the bulk of the book of Jude is Jude warning the church against those who were teaching false. To him, this was the gravest danger. Jesus warned about it. Paul warned about it. Peter warned about it. James warned about it. And now Jude was warning the church, waking them up about all the things that were being taught that were false, that didn't match Scripture. And then last week we looked at a couple of verses where Jude was reminding us about how to persevere. And it has to do with listening to God and being faithful to Him. Our obligation is to God, is to Jesus Christ, is to the Holy Spirit, and nothing else and nobody else. Our responsibility as far as what we believe and what we know rests solely in what we are learning from Scripture about what God wants us to know. And when we think about that, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, for Jesus to come into this world, to leave the wonders of heaven, to become one of us, to live among us as a perfect human being, you know, on the one hand, being perfect, well, God can do that. But remember, God was living with a whole bunch of sinners, totally surrounded by sinful people, people like us who were imperfect. And yet he had to remain perfect. And he did. And then to suffer and die for us for our sins. It means that what God was doing through Jesus Christ was extremely important. Remember in the garden, Jesus prayed, if there's another way. Now, he knew there was no other way. He was here fulfilling what he himself had promised, because Jesus is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, planned all of this. But in the garden, Jesus prays, if there's another way. He was down to crunch time. This is it. And it's scary, even for Jesus. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, but each time, your will be done. Because this was important. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. And he saw it through. He died for us. He rose again, conquering death, and returned back to the Father. But he did reveal a lot to us through his own teaching that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded for us. And Jesus told his disciples the night he was betrayed, the Holy Spirit would come once he was gone and lead them into all truth. And so we have the New Testament, God's Word, that reveals to us the truth that God wants us to know, to believe, and to follow. And where to do that? Why? Because of who God is. God is our Creator. God created all things, and the most important part of His creation was us. He started out with two, and from those two have come all people. God desires to have His creation with Him, the most important part of His creation, with Him forever and ever. But the part of us that He wants are those of us who want to be with Him. God doesn't want people who don't want Him. What good are they to Him? He wants people who really want to be with Him, who sincerely desire to have this fellowship with Him that He has now made available. You know, before it was tough, but now it's so much easier because we have God's Word once and for all delivered to the saints, as Jude said. We have the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Word. So it's up to us to be faithful. It's up to us to do our part, and God will do His part. And isn't that why we are here this day? We are here, every one of us, as we came through those doors. We're sitting here in the gloom of the light coming through the stained glass windows. No electricity today. We're here because Jesus Christ is our Savior. We are not here because we are so good. Because we're not. No matter how nice of a person we are, we still have sin. We still are opinionated. We still get angry. We still want our own way. We still don't always do what we know God wants us to do. You know, what we know God wants us to do. We still choose, in our struggle to walk with God, we still choose to do that which is wrong. And that's why we need Jesus Christ so badly. But we hang on to Jesus because of who God is. In Jude verses 24 and 25, this is the whole point of Jude's letter. This is the bottom line. It says, "To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen." That's not just a closing doxology. This is what Jude was working up to as he was warning about the false teachers, as he was warning about the dangers, as he was telling us how to be faithful. He points out God is able. See, that's the whole point. God is able. Our world does not believe God is able to do anything. Our world does not accept the concept of Jesus Christ, or if they do, they don't understand it and they have very little to do with it. They don't realize God is able. God is the God of the world. He is involved in every nation of this world, whether they accept God or not. He is there and He's working. And for us as individual Christians, as Jude says, He is able to keep you from falling. Now, he just spent about 15 verses, maybe 20 verses, talking about those who had fallen away. But please note, they hadn't just fallen away, they had walked away. They had chosen to go their own route. They had chosen to devise things the way they thought things should be done. They didn't like the way God wrote it, and so they were coming up with their own ideas and gathering followers for themselves. But Jude is telling us that as we hold on, because these are following those two verses about persevering, we trust God and we trust His Word and we endeavor to live by it and trust it, God will keep us from falling. What that means is that as we put our trust in God, we put our trust in His Word, He will keep us close to Him. He will not let us go. Even as we stumble along our way trying, you know, to do our best and far too often failing, God is there holding our hand and keeping us close to Him, keeping a close tab on our hearts. In other words, He's saying, you can't be a Christian right now, loving God, praising God, and then tomorrow suddenly go, oh man, where'd God go? We can't fall away. Now, if you're like the President of the United States and other past presidents, you can trip and stumble, you know. That's humanness. But God will not let us fall, to fall away, to no longer be His child. Because as long as we endeavor to be faithful to Him, our God is more than faithful with us. That's what Jude's talking about here. That's why we don't need to fear what people say when people say, oh, how can you believe that stuff? When we can say, I believe God, and I believe He is preparing a place for me in eternity, and I will follow Him and serve Him here and now because I'm confident of what He's preparing for me. And as we have that confidence, God will indeed get us where He wants us to be. That's the confidence Jude is saying we have if we remain faithful. And this God is able to present us before Himself on Judgment Day as His child. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. God is able to present you and me before His glorious throne. All that way you have ever known will be long gone, all destroyed, and it'll just be us and Him, and He'll be in His glory. And I imagine I would be shaking in my boots. I don't know, do boots go to heaven? Any rate, you get the point. But I'm going to stand there by His grace without fault. And here's the other part. Not in fear, not shaking in my boots, but with great joy. That's what God is able to do for you and me. To bring us through His Word, through His Spirit, to the point where when this world is brought to an end, we stand before that judgment throne, God will see us as perfect people. And we will be filled with joy. Because what will finally have happened is all of our sins will have been totally done away with. All our desire to sin will be done away with. And we will stand before God as people who are loved by Him and who love Him deeply. Because there's going to be no other distraction. There's going to be nothing else to lure us away. It's just going to be us and Him. And He's able, through our lives as we struggle along, He's saying, my child, hang in there. You're not perfect. I know that. That's why I came to pay for your sins. But as long as you desire to walk with me, I will get you into eternity with me. And you will be perfected and you will know joy. And I can ask the Lord, how in the world are you going to do that? And the Lord says, don't worry about it. Just trust me. Trust my word. Because I am able. And he goes on in verse 25, he's the only God, our Savior. He is our Savior. This is God's idea. It's not man's idea. Oh, there are a lot of religious ideas and philosophies out there that are man-made ideas. But the Word of God itself is God's Word. Because it's all God's plan before He created anything. This is what He said He was going to do. And so all of human life has been centered around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Everything before led up to that. Everything since is because of that. Because the day of judgment is coming. And that's when God will reap those who wanted through their lives to belong to Him. See, it is harvest time. And you know, Jesus told a number of parables about the wheat, the grain, and the tares or weeds. And what happens to the weeds? They get thrown away because they are of no use. When I was a kid, my brothers and I used to clean the weeds out of our soybeans. And we worked for the neighbors too, removing weeds from the soybeans. Once they were big enough, they couldn't cultivate anymore. We'd be out there in the wee hours of the morning through all the dew and all the mud, removing the weeds. We had special poles with sharp curved blades on the end, and we cut the weeds off and the volunteer corn at ground level. Because back then, the combines could not, you know, they were too brittle. The sickles were too brittle for the weeds and the corn. So we'd be out there from about 6 in the morning till about noon every day, removing the weeds. And some of those weeds would get pretty tall. There were some that we called button weeds. I don't know what they might be called here, but they had huge leaves, and their seed pods looked like buttons. We cut those off, put them over our shoulder, because it made beautiful umbrella. And at the end of a quarter of a mile lane, they'd be so wilted we'd have to throw it away, cut another one, and that would get us to the other end. And if we got thirsty, we'd just take some of the corn stalks that we cut off at ground level, suck on those a little while because they were full of water. And that's how we got through working in the field, because the weeds were worthless and actually detrimental to the plan, to the work, to the need of the farm. That's the type of illustration Jesus used time and time again about Judgment Day. Judgment Day is when God winnows out all that do not want Him, all who do not belong to Him by their choice, and keep those that are His because they have appreciated His love and His grace. God is able, therefore, to save us. That's why we hold on and trust God and trust His Word. He is able to save us. And our response to God in verse 25 is so beautiful. We will give Him glory. We will be praising His name when we see Him, rather than running in terror, like Scripture says, those who do not belong to Him will be, because they've not believed Him, they've not trusted Him. They're just going to be terrified. But for us, we're going to be praising our God for His grace, because He is a God who keeps His Word. We will be giving Him glory. We will be acknowledging His majesty. We will look at Him in awe for all that He is. We will actually get to see Him. We will realize His power. The Almighty God who created all things and then destroyed it all, for all that He has recreated that we get to be a part of. And we will submit to His authority, as we endeavor to do now. But certainly come Judgment Day, we will submit to His full authority. And even now as Christians, we endeavor to realize that all authority rests in Him. And Jesus is the one who makes it possible. He is the Christ, the Chosen One. That's what Christ means. Jesus is the Christ, our Lord. That's what He came to be. He was the Chosen One. He came, He was born among us, to be one of us. He lived under the law. He fulfilled the law. He died on the cross for us. He rose again, conquering death. He was the Chosen One to accomplish what God wanted accomplished in order to save us. He is Lord. That means He's the boss. He's the head of the church. I am not the head of the church. Some priest is not the head of the church. Some evangelist is not the head of the church. Some elder is not the head of the church. Only Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And come Judgment Day, as we all gather before the throne, He turns us over to the Father, because it's all about Him, His desire for us. And so as we live here and now, we follow the Chosen One, because He was the Chosen One by the Father. He is our boss. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our head. And what makes that even so special is that He is eternal. He is eternal before all ages, now and forevermore. Jesus, the Father, the Spirit, God is God, and He has always been. I do not understand that, because all I know is what God created. I do not know beyond that. But one day perhaps we will. But that's why what Jude tells us is so important, to remain faithful. And that's why on Palm Sunday, all those years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem that Sunday afternoon riding on a donkey, a symbol of victory, a symbol of power, a symbol of peace. The religious leaders didn't understand it, because only a king or a victorious general would ride into a city after winning a major battle and proclaim peace. And yet here was Jesus doing this very thing. They didn't understand. It didn't make sense to them. But Jesus was making a statement that only Christians would understand later. He was here as the chosen one, as the Son of God, to keep his promise. He was able. And because he proclaimed victory before he had it, and then he had it, he's telling us, my children, I am able to save you. To save you. To give you an abundant life here and now, that you don't have to struggle like everybody else. Struggle, yes, but not like everybody else. I can fill you hope that nobody else has. I can give you joy that nobody else has in this world. I can give you the promise of life forever with me, and I will keep that promise. Because I am. I am. That's the name of God. I am. And that's why when we come to like Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, any day, holding on to the Word of God, trusting what He says is so important because it's through that that God is able to keep us from falling, to keep us from listening to things that would pull us astray, to keep us knowledgeable because God doesn't want us ignorant. He wants us educated in His Word. And how often have we heard, even in this world, how important education is? But they fail to mention that sometimes some things that people are being educated about are not true. But in God's Word, it is all true. It was worth Jesus doing what He did. You were worth and are worth what Jesus did and went through. So keep that in mind. You are valuable to God. So valuable that He paid for your sins. So valuable that He wants you with Him forever and ever. So valuable that He's placed His Spirit within you to never leave you alone, to help you along life's journey to eternity. Our great, awesome, almighty God loves you. And that's His promise, to always love you. And so let us endure. Right now, we're going to sing our invitation song. I don't know what it is, so I'm going to ask Deanna to come up and lead us.
190.
Please keep in mind, you know, as we leave this place, you know, I don't think it's 5 till yet, so the power's not on. But the power of God is never off. The ability of God never falters. He is worth trusting 24/7. Every day of our lives. Let's stand together as we sing, shall we?